This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. If you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we are finishing up our series today. If you haven't grabbed one of the paper copies of the worship guide, you might want to do that today. We're doing something a little bit different, or open the app, or go online, whichever way you want to do it. If you're at home, do that. Well, we're going to do something a little bit different, so it's good to have that so you can take it with you and have that. But as we get started today, again, as we're wrapping up our series we're calling Ready, Set, Go, I want to know who I'm talking to today, including online. So I'm going to do a survey. There's two choices, all right? And I think the world's kind of divided up in these two choices. You might be part one and part another one, but that's okay. So here's what I want you to do. Think about this. The two groups of people are as follows. There's the list people. You make a list for everything. You write it out. You're very orderly. You go through life with this list, and you check it off as you go, whether it's in your head or on paper. So the list people versus the wing it people who just kind of make it up as they go along. And both have things to offer, but just so I know who I'm talking to today, who are my list people? Where are you guys? All right, a lot of list people today. Who are my wing it people? You're the fun ones. Okay, yeah, you're the ones that whoop. Okay, so I kind of know I'm speaking to a lot more list people today than wing it people, which is, you know, both can add something. The list people, you go to the grocery store, you have your list, and so you get everything on the list, but if it's not on the list, you don't get it, right? The spontaneous people, you're the one that go find whatever you want, and you bring fun into the world, right? And so that's good. We need both types. Like, if you're going to the beach, anybody going to the beach in the next few weeks? Just a few, okay. Anybody already been to the beach? We can tell already from your tans, okay? So if you go to the beach, the list people, you have your list, sunscreen, the towel, the umbrella, or the tent. You have the snacks. You have it all laid out. You're the one we all go to because you have all the stuff, right? So you have all your stuff prepared. You have the spot picked out. You have everything packed and ready to go. If you didn't find something, you go shop for it, but you're all prepared, so we're looking for you. The wing it people, you just do what you want, but you have a good time at the beach, so we all can enjoy it. We both need each other, so our list people need the wing it people need the list people, okay? Does that make sense? So we're in a good company. Anybody neither? Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I knew who I was talking to. You're in one of those two categories. Why do I bring it up? Well, in the scripture, Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote about half our New Testament, he's a list guy. And if you're a list person, you love to read the letters of Paul because he's going to give you a list. He'll go like, if the Holy Spirit's working your life, you're going to see it through a list called the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to see the love, joy, peace, patience, whatever. And you love the list. You're looking at the list. That's awesome list. There's a list on the armor of God. You're going, I need to put on the armor of God. Here's the piece I have. This piece I need to add, that kind of thing. And it's interesting, even with love, you ever read 1 Corinthians chapter 13? He has a list for what love is. Now, love is supposed to be like poetry, right, and stories, and Paul makes a list out of it. It's just interesting how he does it. Love is patient. Love is kind. And you're going, okay, I got the list. I love it. List people love Paul. There's all kinds of lists. This is a list of what does it take to be a leader in the church. Okay, I got it. There's the list. I can read that. I got it. And so we love, list people love Paul. Today, we're going to look at a list as we finish up our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the list people, you're going to eat this up, okay? There's a long list. You're going to go, this is awesome. I'm just going to talk to the wing it people for a second, okay? Can you get wing it people? I'm talking to you, okay? This is going to be hard for you. It may be a little bit difficult. You can draw pictures on it, though. You can make little stories out of it. You can think it that way. There's going to be a lot of good scripture. So the wing it people, bear with me. The list people, 14. 14. It's the longest I've ever done. So list people, you're going to love this, okay? And we're going to do something a little different with it. So I just prepared you. You guys ready as we finish up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and actually the whole book of 1 Thessalonians. We finish it today. So what I want to do is read chapter 5, 12 through 22. We're going to just read through that, and then we're going to look at the list that Paul had. And then what I want us to do is walk out of here today with, okay, how am I doing? How am I doing with this list? Where does God want to work in my life? There might be one of these things that he's going to hit you with, and it's going to bring conviction. And you're going to go, oh, wow, this is the area I need the Holy Spirit to work in my life, because there it is in a list. It's very short, like it's a very pithy statement. I mean, it's just a really hit you between the eyes kind of statement. And you go, that's exactly what God wants to do in my life, okay? So let's kind of approach it that way. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 22, you're going to notice a list. It starts off this way. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. And he says, be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, here's a list, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. And then verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. So before we kind of break this down into what God is teaching us through Paul's writing, let's pray over this. Father God, I thank you for your word. It's sometimes so just outright clear and straightforward, but I pray for your Holy Spirit to work and teach us and show us where you want to work in our life to do new things and to be an example to others through this, but also to allow people to see Jesus in us, which is what we desire so much, and help us to follow Jesus. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So what you have today, if you have the outline, if you have it on your app or whatever, what you're going to look at is a list of 14 things that we're going to work at. And then you're going to see on the side numbers 1 through 5. So as you're going through this today, I want you to look at this and be listening to the Holy Spirit and kind of mark down 1 to 5 where you feel you are. Now, 1 to 5 is from seldom to mostly. There is no never and always. I don't know how you are on these things. I do not like never and always. Why? Because I never mark never and I never mark always, right? And so we're just taking that off. We're not worried. We're not perfect. Can we just agree? We say this a lot here at Bridges. We're not perfect. So not worried about being a 6. That comes later, right, in heaven. So it's just 1 to 5. 1 is I'm seldom in this place, and 5 is I'm mostly in this place, and then somewhere in between. So you're kind of looking at your own life, and no, you can't do your spouse, okay? That you can't do theirs. You can't be going, like, elbowing them, and you need to work in this area, okay? And don't take notes for them either. This is just for you. Can we agree on that? All right, let's do that. So let's look at this list. And it's a following Jesus checklist. And we're going to look at them one by one as we go through the scripture verse by verse. But to look at someone who's following Jesus, the first thing is someone who is appreciative of those who help others follow Jesus. Are you that way? Are you appreciative? Verses 12 and 13 says, honor and esteem the spiritual leaders. It talks about those who labor for the Lord, loving those people that help us follow Jesus. How appreciative are you of them? 1 is not very. I don't think about that. I need to grow in that area. Or 5 is, yeah, I really do appreciate them. And this list would include those people who led you to the Lord. Do you thank God for them? The people who exampled Jesus for you wherever you are in your walk, are you thankful for them? Are you grateful for them? Do you appreciate them? Do you ever say anything to them? It goes within the church, from our leadership, from our elders to our ministry team leaders who are pouring their time and efforts into making this place a great place to worship. It's our small group leaders. It's our volunteers. It's the family ministry people that are over there right now pouring into our children. It's the greeters who come and they greet us to try to help us be welcome in the Lord and to feel like God's love is here. It's for the communion team who sets up communion before the service, and they come after the service to clean it up, and then they put more out there, and then they come back after the second service and make sure that happens. It's to our grounds team who are volunteers. We don't pay anybody to do this. They clean up the grounds. They cut every week. There's a facility team that takes our trash out. They make sure this place is clean. It's our worship team, which is both the band and the tech, who are here Tuesday nights for several hours preparing and thinking, and their prayer always to help us worship. It's not just about excellence, but it's about helping us worship Jesus. It's our prayer team that takes your prayers, and during the week they send this out to people, and they're doing that. There's Stephen's ministry team that counsels people. There's all kinds of things. I'm almost afraid to mention this because I'm afraid I'll miss somebody, but man, there's a lot of people pouring in a lot of time for you to follow Jesus. And what Paul is saying is, do we love them? Do we appreciate them? Do we honor them? And if this is something you do, at least in your heart, and you know, mark it on there. If it's something you're not quite there yet, then mark that and let Holy Spirit move into you. And maybe we can change some of that to make this a place where we go, just say thank you to them or maybe jump in and help them. But Paul starts out by saying, take those people who are spiritual leaders over you, them, over you, who labor in love, and how much do we appreciate them? So one is seldom, five is most of the time, and somewhere in between. And this is, again, we're looking at how do we grow in this area. Number two, we're going to work through this fairly quickly. Number two, following Jesus' checklist, it's someone who brings peace wherever they go. Someone who brings peace wherever they go. Is that something you do? Are you a peacemaker? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers because they'll be called the children of God, meaning you'll see God in the people who bring peace. Or are you the drama person? You walk in and drama happens, right? And people are complaining, they're fighting, and you just poke. You know how some people poke? And you can have that with a family. That person just pokes everybody and gets something going. Or do you bring peace where you go? Are you the peacemaker at your work where all this chaos is flying around and people are complaining and they're critiquing and they're upset, and you're the person that walks in and just brings the level of peace or the chaos down and the peace up? 1 to 5, where are you as far as peacemaking wherever you go? You have friends maybe that are just struggling with something. You come into the situation and you talk them down. You talk them down. You have kids in your house and you bring the peace in your house. Where are you as a peacemaker? Number three, someone who is willing to confront the undisciplined. We're going to talk about that one. Willing to confront the undisciplined. So before you mark it, let's talk about it. Our versions say different things. Some will say admonish the idle or the lazy or confront them. Different versions say different things. The word for idle or lazy is the word atakos, and it's a military term. It's talking about a soldier that's undisciplined. They don't do their responsibilities. So you got everybody else lining up. They're the ones that aren't marching with everybody else. Everybody else's weapons are ready to go. Theirs are not ready to go. And so the leader comes to him and says, you're not ready. When we go into battle, this is not going to go well for you because you're undisciplined. It's the person that doesn't fulfill what God's called them to do. It's a person that's not disciplined in their walk with Jesus. It's a person that's not disciplined in their listening to the Spirit and doing what the Spirit is telling to do. It's coming alongside someone and say, I love you, but I need to talk to you about something. One of my favorite books to disciple someone is called The Principle of the Path. I've walked through this with several people, written by Andy Stanley. Principle of the Path is a really simple book. I've shared this before. It basically says this, that every path leads somewhere. Right? There's paths right over here in Bethabara, and that's how you say it for any news people. It's Bethabara, not Bethabara. You'll know if you're from here if you get the words right, right? So Bethabara right over here, there's paths, and if you get on the path, it's going to lead you somewhere, right? It doesn't matter your intentions. It doesn't matter how good your heart is. If you get on that path and you fall to the end, you're going to end up somewhere. Let's use a highway example. Highway 40 is just to the south of us, right? If you go east, where do you end up? Wilmington, right? You guys know that. If you get on the road, you're going to go to Wilmington, let's get off the road. If you go west, where do you end up? Barstow, California. Okay, Barstow, California. It's all the way across the country. Now, if you don't know this, and you're traveling with somebody, and you're going to the beach in Wilmington, and they go west, and they keep driving west, and you're getting closer and closer to Barstow, even though it's 2,500 miles away or something like that, you want to say something, right? Because you're all ready to go to the beach. You're all packed for the beach, and they're going to Barstow. And so what do? You calmly and nicely say, excuse me, if we keep going on this road, we're going to Barstow, and I don't want to go to Barstow. Anybody been to Barstow in here? And you're going to testify, aren't you? Like, don't go to Barstow. No, if you're online and you're watching from Barstow, I apologize, okay? But you're not Wilmington, okay? Wilmington's the beach. Barstow is in the middle of nowhere. It's hot. It's dusty, all right? But you're going to tell somebody if you're on the wrong road, aren't you? Or are you just going to sit there and let them go? You want to tell them, hey, we're going the wrong direction. When you love someone and you see they're going the wrong direction, Paul's saying you need to talk to them about it. You need to warn them. That relationship, that's going the wrong way. Your relationship with God, you're getting colder and colder, and I'm noticing it, and I just want to talk to you about it. You're not fulfilling your work that you're supposed to do, and if you keep on that path, you're going to get fired, and I just want you to know that. Your health, and this is a touchy situation, right? I notice your health is getting worse. We need to take care of that. Not nagging, but coming alongside and say, I love you, and I'm concerned about you, and I want to help. How can I help? But it's that loving thing. It's not condemnation. Confrontation and condemnation are two different things. Condemnation is, I want you, no, you're going to get judged by this. I'm judging you myself. Where confrontation is, I love you. Let's go in the right way. This is a hard one because it doesn't fit our culture at all. Paul says you got to be able to do it if you love people. So where are you on that? Are you willing to help someone that's going in the wrong direction? 1 to 5. Seldom to mostly. Number 4. Someone who encourages those who deal with fear. And this is a huge thing in our culture today. It says, encourage the faint-hearted in verse 14. There is so much anxiety in our world today that as a follower of Jesus, Paul's saying, just come alongside people who are faint-hearted, who are scared of everything, who are afraid of everything in life. They're faint-hearted. They don't have enough strength. And they understand that everyone's insecure in some fashion. Everybody's insecure in some fashion. And the follower of Jesus comes along and says, it's going to be okay, right? 9/11 took, for those who lived that, now that we live in this world, you know the anxiety level shot way up. And every time you go to the airport, you're reminded of that. Those that grew up in this, you're just used to it. Everybody else is like anxious now. Flying used to be so easy. Now it's much more difficult. Travel's so much more difficult. COVID added a whole nother level of anxiety, right? Our students are dealing with way more stress levels than we ever dealt with. And so it's coming alongside and say, it's going to be okay. If they're a follower of Jesus, here's a great verse to share with them. Psalm 46, 1-3. The writer says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, we're going to be okay. It's pointing people to God. That's what it's talking about. To encourage the faint-hearted, saying, God's got you. God's got us. It's going to be all right. Don't be afraid. He's our refuge. Look at him, not the things around you. And keep repeating that. Always point them to God. He is our refuge and strength. So maybe memorize that with them. I love the fact that it says our. He is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in trouble. That means he's always there. Point people to God and what he can do. Number 5, it's someone who is willing to help those who are weak. Help those who are weak. How do you see weak people? That's a thing to really think about your heart. This one hit me pretty hard. How do you see people who are physically weak? Do you see them as a bother? Do you question them? Why can't you push through it? How do you look at people that are weak emotionally, who don't have the willpower that you have? Do you look at them as just a failure? Why can't you get through that? Why can't you do better? Do you look at people who are spiritually weak with a bit of condensation? Man, I've got that. Why can't you handle that? Why don't you pray? Why don't you have the relationship with God that I have? How do you look at weaker people financially? The Bible says in Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Are you willing to stand up for those who are weak financially? Are you willing to help those who are weak financially? It's why we have the Learning Center, Inspiring Hope Learning Center, to come along families that don't have what other people have and just help them to be strong. It's why we support Crossroads Ministries in Kentucky, in Appalachia. There are people that don't have the finances other people have. We want to come alongside them. It's why we help with In the Gap Ministries in Globe, Arizona, where they're working on the Apache Reservation. And they're strong people, but they lack some of the resources that other people do. So we want to partner with those groups. It's why we help the Mighty River Project that ministers in Uganda. It's coming along people and say, God has something for you. We want to help. Romans 15:1 says this, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Are you willing to help people that aren't as strong as you? 1 to 5. Or do we look at them and judge them? Love says, come alongside and help the weak. Number 6, this one hits a lot of people. It's someone who is patient with others. Are you someone who is patient with others? Verse 14 says, be patient with them all, meaning the list we just looked at, but it can mean patient with anybody. And here's a big question for you. Are you patient
Or are you showing patience? Let me tell you the difference. Showing patience means you are overcoming your lack of patience by your willpower, right? That's where it starts. But showing patience is like, internally, I want this thing to move. Internally, I want you to move. I want us to go faster. I want time to go faster. I'm not patient, but I'm showing patience. See the difference? Being patient means on the interior, I'm okay. God's in control. God's on his timing. Everything's okay. There is a big difference between showing patience. Yeah, I can make myself be patient. I won't call you names. I won't, you know, make gestures at you when I'm driving. I won't try to skip the line when I'm checking out. I'm showing patience, but on the interior, I'm just really, really just flying around, right? Being patient's different than showing patience. So where are you? Are you patient with other people? It's about them at the moment. I'm okay. I'm not rushing through. This one might be an area, because whenever I talk to someone, I go, what's God teaching you? Number one answer, patience. Patience. So you might be a one on this. Might be an area where you go, God, I need to change you because I'm showing patience, but I'm not really patient with people. Number seven, someone who doesn't look to get back at people. Doesn't look to get back at people. It says, see that no one repays evil for evil. So when you're hurt, someone hurts you, someone does something to you on the interior, you just got to get revenge. You got to see them hurt. You got to see something happen to them. This is the opposite. You don't want to repay evil for evil. In Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote this. He says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. We don't need to. Someone hurts you. Someone's done something in your past. You're holding on to it. It's kind of like the little, you know, the sand in the oyster that is building up this thing around it, this callousness. You know, you ever get calluses on your hands? You're building those things up. Well, it's the same with someone hurts you. And so we don't seek revenge because we say, the scriptures say, I will take the revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. We don't have to. Here's what Romans says, but it's just a repeat of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will reap burning coals of shame on their heads. And just so you know, the reference there, it goes back to Proverbs. Says they used to carry coals on their heads in a bowl, you know, a clay pot, so you could carry fire from place to place. So it sounds like a bad thing, like heaping coals on someone's heads like it's going to burn them. That's what it's talking about. So when their fire's gone out, you put the coals in, and then they carry them around. It's just blessing them. It's just blessing them. And then he says this, but don't let evil conquer you. Don't let their evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. When someone does evil to us, any kind of darkness, any kind of hurt to us, any kind of things that would cause us to be bitter, it can harden our hearts toward God. And what this verse is saying is let it go. Let God fight your battles. Let your heart be soft to them. Doesn't mean you have to enter their life again. Doesn't mean you're best friends. But when you have an opportunity, you do good. You do good and let God fight the battle. So 1 to 5, where are you? That seldom you're good with that, or mostly you're good with that one. Number 8, someone who looks do good to all. You just, wherever you go, you're looking to do good. You're a good deed doer. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. You walk in the room, how can you bring good to the room? You go home, how can I bring good to my home? When I go to the office, how can I bring good there? When I'm out with friends, how can I bring good? How can I be the person who brings the good of God to wherever I go? 1 to 5. Number 9, finds and expresses joy no matter the circumstances. 1 to 5, you can find joy wherever you go. Now, some of you are just joyful people. I love to be around joyful people. They just find that. The rest of us have to work at it, right? The verse says, rejoice always. That's a tough one, isn't it? Rejoice always. The person who masters this one is going this way. They're just saying, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He's working. I can find joy. Even in the hardest situations, God's working through this. He's molding me. He's shaping me. He's making me better. And he's got a plan. And in the end, it's all going to work out. I can rejoice. I can not only feel it, I can find it, but I can express it. How are you on your joy meter today? 1 to 5. Number 10, someone who speaks and listens to God throughout the day. How are you with your relationship with God? Verse 17, one of the favorite ones for people to memorize, right? What does it say? Pray without ceasing. People go, I can memorize a scripture verse. If you want to do that today, you can memorize a verse right now. All right? Pray without ceasing. And what does that mean? It means you're in a conversation with God throughout the day. You might have a quiet time, but you also just talk to God about your day, and you're also listening to God. Now, where are the texters in the room? Who are, like, you're constantly texting? Anybody willing to admit it? Okay, some of you guys are texters. That's good. You're just texting all the time. You're just connecting with people. It's the same way with prayer. Something comes to your mind. Hey, God, I got a question about this. Hey, God, I thank you for this. Hey, God, I'm thinking about doing this thing. What do you want me to do? It's this constant conversation with God. How are you doing with that? Something we're going to bring up in the fall. We're really going to focus on that. How do we follow Jesus throughout the day to pray without ceasing? Number 11, someone who finds a reason to be thankful in all situations. How thankful are you? 1 to 5. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's similar to the rejoice always, but it says basically this is God's will. There's only a few times it says this is the will of God. It's being thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. You can find a reason for thanks. Thank you, God, that you're here with me in the worst time of my life. Thank you, God, for the blessings you just gave me. Thank you for the hope of heaven. How thankful are you? Number 12, it's someone who's open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. 1 to 5, are you open to the Holy Spirit's work in your life? Verse 19 says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Quench means to turn off. So if those of you that water your yard, is anybody else's yard brown like mine? Anybody else, you know what I'm talking about? Has it rained? So you have the hose out there. What do? You just turn it on, right? I don't think anybody has a hand pump anymore. Does anybody have a hand pump in here? All right, you at least have water coming. All right, so you turn the thing, it just flows. What do you do to shut it off? You just turn it. Do you know you could do that with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's always on. He's always working. He's always speaking. He's always convicting. He's always working through your conscience. He's always growing, but we can turn it off. You can turn him off by just going, I'm not listening. I'm not changing. I'm not going that way. If you want me to go talk to them, I'm not going to do it. You're trying to change me, make me more loving. Nope, I don't want to go there. That's what it means to quench the Holy Spirit. As he speaks, as he changes, we just are going like this. Not listening. Not listening. Paul says, don't be that way. Be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. 1 to 5, are you there most of the time or very seldom? Again, this is something we'll come back to later in another series. Number 13, it's someone who tests everything against Scripture. It's about a biblical worldview. How good are you at doing that in the world? Verse 20 says, do not despise prophecies. I mean, don't despise what God has spoken through his word, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. So what you do is you look at your thought patterns and you look at the philosophy of the world and you look at the philosophy of the book you're reading and you look at the philosophy of the movie you just watched. You look at the philosophy of the music you're listening to. You look at the philosophy of the people around you. You look at the philosophy of our culture. You look at the philosophy of our political system and you're going, what fits with the Bible and what doesn't? And what fits, you hold on to that's good. What doesn't fit, you toss it and go, I don't care. I'm not heading that way. It's really being able to evaluate everything that you're doing, a technique that you're using, something that you've got in your mind. Are you testing it? If it fits with Scripture, then go with it. If it doesn't, get rid of it. Bible first, biblical worldview. Acts 17:11 is an interesting story about the church in Thessalonica and how they weren't really doing something. It says in this verse, as Paul and Silas were traveling, it says, and the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica. Berea was another town. So he's saying those people there were more open than the people to this letter that we're reading, specifically the ones that were Jewish. And they listened eagerly to Paul's message, and then he did this. They searched the scripture day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So in Thessalonica, they were a group of people. They were hearing the gospel, and they're going, we don't like it. Why not? We just don't like it. We're against it. Why? What does Scripture say? We're not even going to look. And then Berea, they heard the gospel, and they go, what does the Scripture say? Day after day, okay, I'm checking. Do you check what you're watching? Do you check what you're listening to against the scripture? Do you know scripture well enough you go, I don't even want that thought because that's leading me away? In our culture, the whole thing about materialism is so huge, we don't even notice it sometimes. We just go with it. We're going with the flow. And you look at what scripture says about that thing and so many other things. You go, what does the Bible say? I'm choosing God's word. That's what Paul says. He said, test everything. Test it against the word of God. Do what the word of God says. It's number 13. The last one, those list makers or people, this is the last one. Those that are wing it, we're almost there, okay? You stayed with me. I appreciate it. Good job. Number 14, the last one. Seeks to avoid the influence of evil. Seeks to avoid the influence of evil. Verse 22, abstain from every form of evil. Avoid the influence of evil in your life. The darkness. The darkness is all around us. It says abstain from it. Just stay away from it. Don't let it into your house. Don't let it into your life. Be careful. Evil wants to come in and bring darkness into your life, into your marriage, into your family, into your thought patterns. It's always pushing. It's like building a barrier around yourself and going, I'm not going there. And here's how the Holy Spirit works. The first time you see it, he will convict you. The second time, it's a little less because you're building up a wall. The third time, it's a little bit easier to give in. The fourth, fifth, sixth time, you don't even think about it anymore. That's how evil works. You hardly notice it after a while. And you have to stop and you have to say to the Holy Spirit going, I don't know where I am. Show me. Show me where I've allowed evil into my life so I cannot do that anymore. Abstain from every form of evil. Every form. And if you're not sure, you look at scripture. This is what evil is. So that's the list. 14 things. I don't know how you did. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the list, think through it, go back to the scripture, and say, Holy Spirit, where do you want to change me? Where do you want to work? Show me those areas, and then allow him to work. Don't quench the spirit. Because I imagine if you're like me, I read the list, and I'm going, man, there's some areas that God needs to work in my life. All of them, overall. There's some that are really specific. This year, our theme is developing 24, becoming like Jesus. That's the goal. It's not to be comparing ourselves to people around us. It's to look at Jesus as our model and go, I want to be like him. Here's a list of 14 things that we look at and go, okay, here's 14 areas that God wants to work in my life. God, do that. Our series we're calling Ready, Set, Go. We've finished the book of 1 Thessalonians almost. And the idea of this is now you take what we've been going through, take the word of God, and you go live it out there. God's saying, okay, you're ready. You're equipped. Go live in conjunction with me. Go change the world. Be the light. Be the salt. Be like Jesus and let God work through you. So that's my prayer for you as we wrap this up. It's my hope for us all that we'll take what God's teaching us and we'll live it out. So let's pray. Father God, your word is convicting. Your word is truth. Your word does show us the way to go in life. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. So teach us and mold us. And thank you that you never leave us, that you're always working. You always have a plan. You always have a purpose. And show us where you want us to grow and change us. And I pray for anyone here today that maybe doesn't know Christ, hasn't really focused on him in their life, and maybe this is a time to look at all the goodness that Jesus wants to bring into our life. All the change that's positive, it's the moving us forward to becoming the people you created us to be. Father, I pray for them to make that choice to follow Jesus and help us come alongside them as well and help them to walk with him. So Father, as we finish up this series today, may it not be just something we moved through and thought about. It's something that really is transformative. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, if there's an area that you want prayer for, area or person that you have in your life that you're just going, I need to see God at work. I'm dependent on him. That's what prayer is all about. We'll be able to pray with you during this service or after the service under the cross or come see me. Jesus is the answer. He has something for us. We turn it over to him. For communion today, I just wanted to finish out this book we've been reading through. And the end of his books, his letters, Paul will bless the people. And I want to leave you with this blessing as we do communion. Last few verses. It says this, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you, which means to change you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he reminds us who God is. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do that. And then he asks that church to pray for them. And then this is a hard one for us to think through. It says, greet each other with a holy kiss. Oh, brothers, we're not going to do that today. Is that right? Yeah. If you really want to, you can do the French thing. But it was a part of their culture. It just made, they said, love people. Love people. Give them a hug. And he says this, I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers so they would share it. And this is the verse I want to leave you with. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of God. The goodness of God. The beauty of God upon you today. May you experience everything that he has for you, everything he desires for you, his perfect and pleasing plan that he wants for you. May he give you the strength to live that out. May he point you in the right direction. May he forgive all your sins as you bring them to him. May he restore your hearts, restore your marriages, restore your families. May he bless you at your work. May he open doors that you've always pushed against and never could see the light. May he open those doors. May the grace of God be upon you as you take communion today. It's a reminder of what Jesus did to open you up to receive God's grace. May his grace be upon you as you take that today. May you experience that grace in the presence of God. So let's pray. Father, pour your grace out on us. Open our eyes to see your grace. How through Jesus Christ we have everything that we need. All of our needs are met in him, every single one. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is within us to change us, to open our lives to new and better things, to give us a glimpse of heaven and what awaits us there. Open our eyes to see your goodness and how much you love us and what you have for us. Give us strength to walk every single day in you and not be afraid of the world that will pass away, but to place our hope in what you're doing, because you are all-powerful God, the Lord of hosts, the leader of the heavenly armies. Nothing is impossible for you. You are the healer. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. You are the great shepherd, the good shepherd. And we walk with you because of Christ. And we pray this in his name. Communion's open to everyone who follows Jesus on either side. Receive as you're ready.